Welcome to our program. Today we continue in our series on Bible prophecy, plain and simple. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 38, Jesus said to the Jews there in Jerusalem, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth." He left. It was the last time they had crossed the line. He would not be back in their temple. They should have listened to him. We should listen to him today. The best way to get the most out of life is to trust in the Lord. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Well, as we read the story in Matthew chapter 23, they would not trust and they would not obey. And finally, Jesus said, "Behold, your house," or your temple, "is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth. We go through the New Testament and we see that the Lord spent quite a bit of time at the temple. Matthew 26:55 says, I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. Mark 12:35 says, Jesus taught in the temple. We read again, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. John chapter 7:38, Jesus in the temple as he taught. John 8:27, these words spake Jesus as he taught in the temple. And then in John 18:20, Jesus answered, I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple. Well, we read in Matthew 24:1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. This is the last time he said, from henceforth you shall not see me. Well, his disciples came unto him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. You're looking at all these things. He says that there's coming a disaster here. And it came in A.D. 70 when Titus came in, destroyed that temple. Well, Peter would have been listening to Jesus when he talked about all these things. And so it's not surprising that later on when Peter wrote 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, he said, then, seeing then all these things shall be destroyed, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Well, all these things, you know, we get so excited about gathering all these things, and even religious things, you know. Some look at people get involved in the buildings and the tapestries and the things that are in them. Well, no, Peter said, no, all these things will be dissolved. Let's keep our focus right. In Matthew 24:3, we read, as he sat, that is, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, this takes place on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. They came to him, and by the way, Jesus started his ministry on the mountain, and he ended his ministry on the mountain. And many other times he got the disciples alone on the mountain. We need to have those mountaintop experiences with the Lord. Well, they asked the question, when's the end of the world? Now, that's translated, that word world is translated age in three different places. And what they're asking here is, what is the consummation of the age? When will the local church age? When will this come to an end? Well, Jesus said in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. 14 times Jesus said, take heed. Watch out. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He says, make sure that nobody deceives you. Well, you might say, well, nobody's going to deceive me. Peter said that just a few hours before he was cursing and swearing and denying that he ever knew the Lord. He said, the Lord said here, watch out that they don't deceive you. It's interesting, way back in Jeremiah 29:8, the Bible says, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be by people carrying a Bible under their arm and acting like a fundamentalist. Be careful that your prophets don't deceive you. Matthew 24:4 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Mark 13:5, and Jesus answered them and began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words. That's that text, the context of that is in the local church. Again in the local church in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means. And in 1 John 3:7, John said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Let no man deceive you. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 says, there's false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed three times. This verse is referring to Christians who will bring in a damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that redeemed them. They'll bring in a damnable heresy. Now, a damnable heresy is worse than a heresy. Heresy will lead you astray. A damnable heresy will lead you to hell. For 2,000 years, we believed the Bible, what the Bible had to say about salvation. And Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In recent years, we have had a damnable heresy come in where fundamental, independent Baptist leaders, particularly Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson, wrote their damnable heresy some years ago that you don't need to repent in order to be saved. They even called repentance, as it was taught for the last 2,000 years, and as it was taught by Jesus, they called that the enemy to soul winning. And an even bigger problem than them bringing in this damnable heresy is the multitude of people who call themselves fundamental independent Baptist Christians who really don't care. They just remain silent about this heresy being promoted. This heresy is sending multitudes of people to hell who have voted for Jesus, and they're no more saved than a computer that would vote for Jesus. It won't get saved and it won't go to heaven when it dies. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so there's choices and their consequences. Determine whether you're going to believe those teachers among us who bring in the damnable heresies, or whether you're going to believe the Lord.
My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin and has planned it all.